Ian Griffin with another edition of Professionally Speaking. I'm here with David Allen, who's a productivity expert. He's got a book called Getting Things Done, and you've just presented to Hewlett-Packard. I understand there was over 1,000 people online looking at your presentation, as well as a couple of hundred here in the room. You talked about the art of stress-free productivity. Is it possible to summarize in a couple of minutes what this is about or why people should pay attention to this?
A lot of it, Ian, is about the keeping track of and clarifying what your commitments are with yourself so that you can then constantly look at that inventory and then on a consistent basis renegotiate with yourself about what you're doing and what you're not doing. But it has to be conscious. And most people haven't really a clue how many commitments they've made with themselves, nor do they have a good systematic approach to be able to keep track of those so that they can review and renegotiate them. And they're all trying to do it sort of internalized in their own psyche, and that's just the worst place in the world to try to sort and sort through all of this stuff with the complexity and the speed of change that's going on. We really need to have an externalized system to be able to manage all of that. So that's really a lot of what the message is about, is making sure you externalize these and clarify, you know, commitments. Now, that's saying a lot. There's a lot of different levels of commitments, as you know, in terms of where all that's about. But that's pretty much the bottom line.
And then you talked about the benefit of this, which you claim, and I have no reason to doubt you, that you get into what you said is like the zone, where you've really not got a lot of internal chatter in your mind and presumably more effective.
Sure. Well, you know, real power and real productivity comes from being able to concentrate. You know, just the physics of concentration, concentrated energy is more powerful energy. So your ability to concentrate is going to be one of your keys. Now, people will automatically concentrate and move into high performance in a crisis. That's why in crisis, people often get a lot of stuff done. You know, there's all kinds of clarity that shows up. And it also, in a way, is more relaxing because you then don't have any decisions to make. You don't have to think. Thinking has now been finished. You now need to act. So you get down to the action level. So the idea is, how can I build in high performance? You know, is really, how do I get that kind of concentration, that elimination of distraction, without having a crisis forces me to do that? But that is not free. You have to do some things to do it. And that's what I figured out, was what are the things you can do that eliminate those kind of distractions before sort of a crisis forces you to do that triage.
Right. You talked here for the past hour and a half to Hewlett-Packard, a massive organization, 170,000 employees. Some of the people who listen to my podcast saw individual entrepreneurs, professional speakers out there on the road, travel schedules overwhelming them. I presume this is just as applicable, if not more so, to people like that.
Oh, sure. I mean, we have a business challenge ourselves to try to figure out, are we in the self-help market or in the corporate change market? And we can't actually get out of either one, because actually, in order for 170,000 people at Hewlett-Packard to change this ship or to move it forward to keep it going, there are a whole lot of individuals that need to have their own ability to be productive amidst all the ambiguity and weirdness and stuff that goes on. At the same time, an entrepreneur who's wearing 65 hats and things are changing constantly and having to do all that has the same kind of requirement. So anybody who's got to keep track of more than one thing, this is universal stuff about how do I do that with the least amount of effort and stay focused on what I need to stay focused on.
Right. And I was very interested to hear, near the beginning of your talk, you mentioned that most of us in our daily life today deal in 72 hours with as much data and information as make as many decisions as a parent's generation might have done in a month. I presume that, you know, 20 years ago, very few of us had email. Today, it's everything from instant messaging, email, Twitter, blogs, the whole thing. I guess I'm helping to contribute to that here. Do you see this, like, is it an exponential curve that we've got to learn to manage, or else it'll, I guess another way of asking it, is there a younger generation coming along who this is more second nature to, or do you see the whole thing just getting out of control?
You know, it's a good question, and I don't know that I have enough of a viewpoint to give you a definitive answer about what's true about that. I just know that, again, the speed of change and the accessibility of information that has meaning to us, I do know that that is increasing. It's not going away. You and I both are getting more emails now than we did last year, and that's not going to quit. So understanding at some point, your psyche can only handle so many things anyway. You know, and by the way, as soon as you focus on one thing, you just defocus on everything else. So the truth is, we're really just walking around with a single filter looking at one thing at a time. It's just how many options do we need to be considering in terms of that. See, the problem, Ian, is not information overload. If it was, you'd walk into a library and blow up. If you walk into nature, you blow up, because nature actually has more information and more detail and more horizons than almost any other place. That's why it's so relaxing. So believe it or not, this podcast is just creating more relaxing data, unless people are listening to this thing, you know, there's something I might, would, could, should do after listening to that. Now they've got something you know, emails, you know, snakes and berries and thunderstorms and nature are pretty self-evident. So there's not a whole lot of data that is meaningful once you wander through nature. But every email could be a snake or a bear or a berry or a thunderbolt. You don't know what's in there. So it's because those are unknowns. That's what my system teaches, is how to make that a known quantity fast, so that I can then determine meaning, so that I can put it to bed very quickly. So ultimately, once you're getting good at determining meaning, you'll decide how many things you want to allow into your world. And then, you know, it's a constant triage decision called, what am I committing to and what am I not? I think as people become more conscious about that, I think there's a general quota that we all come up with.
Yeah, and it's very much as you said in the talk, you systematize this. So it's not a personal, like, be strong and cut through it. Your whole methodology, which is in this book, Getting Things Done, is about systematizing, getting it off your mind.
Right. It's, you know, some researchers have compared this to a lot of the new psychological models in cognitive psychology, and it's very much, you know, they call distributed cognition. Basically, what it means is you need to get the core processor freed up, so that you get you make decisions, you do the thinking, and then you put placeholders for that thinking in appropriate places, so that you can always loop back around and pick up where you left off. But you basically have an extended mind. You've now extended your mind's ability to be able to manage a lot more things by freeing up the core processor. So it's not sitting there trying to remember and remind and remember and remind. Does a crappy job of that anyway.
Right.
You know, it should be designed to walk around to all the thinking you have been doing, making constant decisions about, you know, which of those I'm going to move on, or moving those things forward. But you know, once you really start to experience this, it's almost like people are trying to walk on the information highway, and you should get arrested for that. You know, really, we need the tools to be able to manage the thinking process. But most people have thought about system improvement as being, well, how do we make the flow of a manufacturing facility or flow work? But I just figured out what the internal flow was that you need to free up, and by what are the executive decisions I need to be making about all this stuff, so they don't clog up the internal system.
Yeah. Well, very good. A couple of points you mentioned, and we saw on your own map of your projects to do, is you're working on a new book. Can you share with us anything about what the new book is on?
Yeah, it's called Making It All Work, Winning at the Game of Work and the Business of Life. People need to first lighten up about work, and they need to get more serious about life. You know, frankly, they're all the same thing. It's really about, what are you committed to? What are you trying to do? What's next? You know, where do you point your resources? It's really all one sort of game. And making it all work, you'll never finish it all. But once you get the system for how things work and you get yourself in the flow with that, you know, you'll never finish everything. But once you start to enjoy the game, so it becomes a sustainable way to just, you know, navigate through this world, you wouldn't want to get rid of challenges. You'd never grow. You just want to make sure that it's in a constructive process, so you don't feel like things are clogging up and you've got a bunch of internal conflict working against yourself.
Yeah, well, sounds good. Well, thank you, David.
You're quite welcome. Take care.